Welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show, where you'll learn how to grow your team today. Join Ken Trupke and his guests as they discuss what works and doesn't work to grow your team in today's world. And now, your host, Ken Trupke.
Hello, and welcome to the Clarity Advisor Show. Building and growing your team today is a key theme of this show. Especially in interviews with leaders, we're trying to learn what leaders, both new and experienced, need to know to lead well. What are the timely trends, those things that have changed that leaders decades ago didn't need to think about? And what are the timeless truths, those things that have been and always will be important to building strong teams? And sometimes people confuse the two. They think that their experience is timeless, that what is working will always work. And what I think is interesting is that younger people always see that very clearly in older people, but they don't always see it in themselves as they go along in their career. It's somewhat like music. Whatever the kids these days are listening to is garbage. It's not like the good stuff we listened to when we were their age. Ever heard anyone say something like that? Yeah, pretty much everyone says it. And they all think they're right. Young people think only the new way works, and old people think all this change is nonsense. Everything new is garbage, and the younger people are thinking like everything old is garbage. And trying to separate what is timely about your experience that's current and important and, yeah, needs to be addressed, but is for a season. It's not necessarily going to be that way forever. Contrast that to what is timeless. That is always true and is always going to work. What I hope you take away in part from today is that there are timely trends that young people, younger leaders are dialed into, and experienced and older leaders need to pay attention to, because for this season right now, these things are important. They may change and evolve, but you can't ignore them. And likewise, the timeless truths that experienced leaders know. They've seen it through their career over decades. These things always work. And newer and younger leaders ignore those at their peril. If you think just because an older person told you this, that it's garbage because an older person told you this, just like they said their music was so great, well, to dismiss that is to miss something. It's to miss something important. Just as those timely trends are important right now, those timeless truths are also important right now. The difference is the timeless truths will always be important. And as you move through your career, you need to try to identify what's timely that I might need to move on from and what's timeless that I need to continue to carry with me. So today we're going to cover timely trends, three things that you need to pay attention to today. First, timely trend. Probably not a surprise if you've been in business and in leadership for the last 5 years, remote work. This really exploded on the business scene in 2020 and has continued to be a trend. And now the teammates on your team are often asking for remote work. If you're not a remote first workplace, people are asking, at least for a hybrid, can I work part-time from home or from where I want? Do I have to come into the office all the time? The challenge here can, among others, is that it can be really hard to establish culture. When we're all in the same place physically at the same time and can see each other and talk to each other and be with each other and see aspects of each other that aren't just business but also personal, it's easier to establish a culture where people like us do things like this. Well, who are people like us when we maybe never physically get together or rarely are together in an office? Another challenge with remote work is it requires really high trust, because we're in business to get things done. We're serving our customer. We're here to serve customers and deliver value to them. And with knowledge work, that can be hard to measure. So if there's not high trust on the employer side, on the leader side, that your teammates are working and getting things done because it's knowledge work, it's on the computer, it's writing and thinking and creating, that can be hard to measure. And if you don't have high trust that they're producing, you might not be comfortable with a remote work plan. And that's something to acknowledge and recognize and call out, that when your team is clamoring for remote work, but you don't have high trust, maybe they're just a newer person, try something like starting with in-person, if that's possible, and then allow them as they prove themselves and as you build trust, and frankly, as they get more comfortable with what's expected, that then they can start working remotely more and more and potentially even full-time. And that's why I go back to a hybrid environment where if that person does come in, there's other people in the office. They're not just in there by themselves where it feels like a punishment, but sometimes we're here and sometimes we're not here, and that's okay. And as we build trust with each other, that's when you can get more of the option. So, but remote work, definitely a challenge. And some people are kind of hardcore around, no, work is a place, not just a thing. And so we need to be at work if we're going to do work. And that could be in certain environments. But it could also be that when you allow for remote work, you open yourself to a bigger pool of candidates because you're not just limited to the geography where you are. And so if you can do that, that's an opportunity. Now you need to balance that with how are you going to get them onboarded and how are you going to build trust and how are you going to set expectations and measure the performance and all those things. But it does open up the opportunity to get more talent, at least a bigger pool of talent, if you're not limited geographically. So there's pluses and minuses, but it's definitely something people are wrestling with. And it can feel like, oh yeah, those Xers and boomers, they all want to be at work because that's all they know. And with the millennials and the Gen Z and even Gen Alpha behind Gen Z, that the conventional wisdom is that they want to all be 100% remote and never come into the office. And that can be true, but that's also not always true because they're people too. And as people, we crave connection. And so remote work doesn't inherently create connection. And so not everybody wants to be 100% remote. So the net of it is there's a lot to this, but it is certainly something to pay attention to. If you just slam your fist down as a Gen Xer and say, no, everyone in the office all day, every day, you're going to really limit who wants to be on your team. On the other hand, if you throw your hands up and say, I don't know, being together isn't that important. Every man for himself, go work at home in a coffee shop on the other side of the world or in the office, do whatever you want. Well, that's not necessarily a recipe for strong culture. So clearly it's not either or, but you need to be aware of the extremes and find where you fit in the middle and then communicate it. All right, that was all trend one, remote work. Trend two, generational differences. And we touch on that a little bit with remote work because the generational differences tend to show themselves in things like remote work. So a key generational differences that I've experienced and have heard from other leaders is the work-life balance, wanting more time off, wanting a flexible schedule, and yes, wanting remote work. That is definitely something that you're going to hear more of from those Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and to some extent, the millennials still. The millennials are starting to be much more in charge than they were 10 or 20 years ago. And so they're starting to become those leaders who are trying to figure out how to do this, not the teammates who are trying to dictate and push back a little bit against the existing old school rules. So that work-life balance is important. Listen, it's always been important, but Gen X and the boomers just didn't feel comfortable. The culture didn't allow for that. You couldn't raise your hand and say, hey, I'm going to need to take off because my daughter has a softball game that I really want to attend. It was like, well, yeah, except now you're at work, and so you need to be working. Like, it didn't really even occur to ask for those things because that just wasn't a thing. That wasn't culturally how we did work. And so it's not that people didn't used to want to take time off or didn't want to have more work-life balance. It just wasn't as acceptable. But today, very acceptable. And so when you hear it, especially as an experienced leader, if you're hearing that from your younger teammates, understand and try to reflect back and say, yeah, I guess if I was them, I want that. I would want that too. And in fact, I did want that. I just didn't feel comfortable asking for it. And I did miss out on some things that I wish I hadn't traded for the hours I spent in the office. And have some compassion and realize that it's a human thing and it's okay. And if we can get work done with the tools that we have, that we don't necessarily have to be in the office like we used to have to be. And so it's generationally different. And it feels like it's very much a Gen Z thing to want work-life balance, but it's really a human thing. It's just more acceptable now. But as a leader, you need to pay attention to that. Younger generations are also looking for more autonomy, and that kind of goes with that work-life balance. And so as leaders, we are absolutely responsible for determining what needs to get done. As a leader, you need to set the expectations and goals around what we're trying to accomplish as a business to serve our customers. Micromanaging comes in when we also dictate the how. And I've talked about this before, but managers and leaders get into trouble when they dictate both the what, totally their responsibility, and the how, totally the fun part of the job that people want. And when you do both, that's micromanagement. I want you to make sure that you get this report in by Friday. So far, so good. And I want it to be 5 paragraphs, and I want it to have a conversational tone, and I want, no. Now you're dictating the what, or I'm sorry, the how. And that's the fun part. Let people do the work. So be clear and often get it in writing so that, not so that we can play gotcha later, but so that we're both looking at something in writing so that we all know that we all know, and we don't remember something differently, heard something different. Look, we're all looking at it. It's just to be clear, not to get somebody in trouble later. And collaborate. We can work together on what those goals, on what the what needs to be. We can collaborate. It doesn't have to be just top down, I set the what, and that's it. Like, you can work together to figure out what the what is. But in the end, it's the leader's responsibility to set the what. But don't take away the fun part of the how, and let people do things how they want to. Give them some freedom and autonomy. And generationally, you'll see that the younger generations thrive with that. They've really crave that autonomy, and they've come to expect to have much more autonomy than, again, the Xers and boomers had. This is how we did it. This is what we were doing, and this is how we do it. And there wasn't a lot of autonomy in there. And so sometimes as an X or boomer leader, you can say, well, look, this is how it was in my day, and this is what, well, okay. But now you just sound like, okay, boomer, right? So don't be that person. Acknowledge that this is a legitimate desire of the up-and-coming generations, and that it's a timely trend, and you need to pay attention to it. Ignore it at your peril. Okay, timely trend number 3. And this is truly timely, something that's just come up in the past year or so, gotten a lot of traction, a lot of conversation in the last couple months. You probably know already what's coming now. Yes, wait for it, AI. Yes, artificial intelligence tools. It's definitely a trend that you need to pay attention to. So my best advice at this point is take advantage of the tools. AI is a great productivity boost. There's opportunity in lots of areas to be able to use it. And not using it and pushing back against it just feels like trying to hold back the tide. It's like saying the internet was a trend, or that laptops are just a tool for lazy people. Like, it's something that we have an opportunity to use, and we need to take advantage of it. Will something change and evolve and change how we use it, or whether we should use it? Yeah, maybe. But right now, it seems like something we ought to grab onto. At a minimum, it's a trend you need to pay attention to. Wherever you land on the spectrum of use it or don't use it, and how much and when and where with your team and with yourself, that's fine. But just understand that it's on the table. I actually had a manager that I heard about who was so against AI that she actually sent a Slack message to her team, letting them know that they would be punished, in a sense, for using AI because it was, quote, a shortcut, and that they weren't learning. Well, okay, first off, she let her team know that via Slack, which is kind of ironic because Slack is an internet tool that we use on a keyboard and a laptop. So presumably, if we didn't want to take shortcuts, we should have handwritten a letter with pen and paper and put it in the mail to the team. So clearly, some tools are okay and others aren't. And this is where I get into thinking that your experience is the timeless experience instead of maybe the timely trend, because some people grew up not having AI, which is basically everybody who didn't come into the workforce within the last couple of years. And so it's new. But to not say it's a thing and not pay attention to it and just assume that the old ways are the best ways and we didn't have it and we got along without it and this, you're not learning? Well, what do we need to learn? That's like saying we can't use a calculator, right? Remember those days? It's not like you're going to grow up and have a calculator in your pocket. Well, turns out actually we do. And so now, do we need to understand the basics of math before we go plugging numbers into a calculator? Yes, but let it do what it does well. And same with AI. We need to prompt it. We need to work with it and sometimes train it. And those are skills. So maybe we're not learning how to do all the things ourselves the old way, but we have to learn a new skill to use the AI. So to say that you're not learning because you're using AI, it begs the question, well, what are we learning? Is our job to learn how to do what AI can do? Or is our job to learn how to harness AI and use it to build our productivity? So that's an idea that I think is worth wrestling with, is what is timeless and what is timely in terms of AI and how we grew up doing things, and is the way we learned and what we learned the thing that people still need to learn the way they need to learn it? Or do we need to move forward in terms of skills and how we learn skills and what skills we choose to learn? The world is changing. I think we need to embrace it. And I've said before, AI is not going to take your job, but someone using AI might. You know, and your work is going to change, but our work always changes. The things we need to do are changing in terms of what's valuable today versus what's valuable tomorrow. I mean, how many companies, for example, have a mailroom? How many people have the mailroom clerk whose job is to sort the mail, literally letters, and then distribute them to the team? That would be no one, because we have email now. We just don't get enough volume of mail. And back to remote work, people aren't necessarily in the office. Or how about an on-site server? Most people have all their internet stuff in the cloud now. But years ago, we all had a server in the office. And boy, when that server went down, we couldn't work. Well, now all that stuff's in-house. Now, maybe some people still have a server and there's reason for it. I'm not saying that. I'm just suggesting that those are examples of things where we've moved on and that what work needed isn't what work needs anymore. So we've got to be thinking about what is necessary today and what's important and what's timeless that we need to still focus on versus what's timely that we need to embrace for now, but potentially let go of as we move forward. Okay, those were three timely trends: remote work, generational differences, and AI, artificial intelligence tools. I'd love to hear your take on those trends, and what other trends are you seeing that are timely that leaders who are looking to grow and build a great team need to pay attention to? Send me those in an email or comments on the platform you're listening or watching on. You can reach me at email at ken@clarityadvisors.io, and that'll be in the show notes. And next time, we'll walk through the timeless truths. So we'll see you then on the Clarity Advisor Show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for listening to the Clarity Advisor Show. Clarity Advisors is a speaking, training, and consulting firm specializing in helping you simplify your sales and operating systems to improve efficiency and grow your profits. Connect with Clarity Advisors today to learn more about how they can help you improve communication and get your team aligned and engaged for greater success.